be seated. The scripture says of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 that in humbling himself and going to the cross, the Bible says that God highly exalted him. He raised him up and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is who we praise this morning, and he is the only one worthy of our honor, and we lift his name on high today. His resurrection, what we celebrate really every day as believers, but especially on this day, his physical bodily resurrection, that is the event that earned him the right to be called Lord, and it is the reason that the scripture says one day every knee will bow before him. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Did you know that the Bible teaches that every single one of us, believer and unbeliever, saved and unsaved, when we die, we will one day, like Jesus, experience a physical resurrection and bow our knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's what I'm calling the message today. I'm terming it and putting it in the form of a question. Are you ready for your resurrection? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, who is a key follower of Jesus in the New Testament, is writing to a church that has a lot of questions about what happens in what the Bible calls the last day or the day of the Lord. There was some confusion surrounding these events that are predicted of and spoken of in Scripture. Speaking of confusion, I heard about the Sunday school teacher who decided to volunteer on Easter Sunday. And so she went into the room and she was surrounded by all of these children and she thought, you know what, let's get this going on Easter and just ask these children if they know the true meaning of Easter. And so she said, class, can anyone tell me what the true meaning of Easter is? And very quickly a girl stood up and said, oh, I love Easter. That's when my extended family comes over and we eat turkey and watch football and then take naps. And the teacher said, no, that's Thanksgiving. Anybody else want to try? Little boy stood up, said, I love Easter. That's when we gather around a tree and we sing songs and exchange presents. I love Easter. And the teacher shook her head and said, no, that's Christmas. She was scared to ask the class what's next, but she said, you know what, does anybody else want to take a stab at this? What does Easter mean? And a little girl stood up and so confident said, Easter? That's that day we celebrate where Jesus died for our sins and they took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb for 3 days. And she was so relieved. And as she breathed that sigh of relief, the little child continued. And then after 3 days, people gather around the tomb. And when Jesus comes out, if he sees his shadow, that means 6 more weeks of Easter. Little bit of confusion there. And there was some confusion in the early church about the last days, the end of time, and what all surrounded it. And so Paul writes, and he wants to clear some confusion up. And in writing, he believes that what he's going to tell this church, what we're going to read here in just a moment, will provide a great amount of encouragement and be a source of hope for them. In fact, this is how this passage is bookended. It's bookended with hope and encouragement. Let's look at the passage together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, the Bible says this. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. This is a metaphor for death. In the Christian worldview, death is merely viewed as sleep. More on that in a moment. That you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, this is the bedrock, the foundational confession of our faith. This is what we celebrate today, this fact that Jesus died and he rose again. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, typically, I read this passage of Scripture at funeral services, and even more specifically than that, at gravesides. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we had a member of our church pass away, and it was at the graveside where I read this exact passage. Right before the family would give their final goodbye to the family member that they loved, and that body would be lowered and covered with dirt, and a concrete monument placed right over it. And it's interesting that I would choose on a day like Easter to read a passage that I would read in a cemetery, at a funeral. What's that all about? I mean, shouldn't we be talking about life, not death on Easter? Well, yes and no. I mean, I remind you that we are here celebrating a resurrection on Sunday because there was a death, a crucifixion on Friday. And so we can't ignore death. We can't escape its reality. I mean, statistics are still true. You know this. One out of every one person dies. Happy Easter. I believe it was the actor Woody Allen that said, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." And that's the thought of many. We don't like to think about death, especially our own, but it is a certainty. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that just as it was appointed for man to die once, after that comes judgment. And it was that after that, that these Thessalonians had all kinds of questions and doubts and fears about. And so Paul writes to clear some things up. And in doing so, he believes that what he's sharing with them, again, he believed it would be a great source of hope and encouragement. And he shares first with them this need for them to look back. Do you see it there in verses 13 and 14? "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." And so he says, look back. Now, the basis of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see the certainty there that Paul uses in verse 14? He says, this is our belief. This is our conviction. This is the truth of our faith, that Jesus died and rose again. What we are celebrating today, this resurrection of Jesus, if it's not true, if it didn't happen, we are wasting time. And what Paul would go on to say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the premier passage on the resurrection of Christ and the return of Christ, he would say that if Jesus didn't die and get up out of the grave, if he was not raised to life, he would say hope is the exact opposite of what we should have. Indeed, he says we would be hopeless. Listen to his words, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16. "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." In other words, we are wasting our time if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. We could be doing something else besides this today. Verse 18, "Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, if Christ didn't raise, they perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only," he says, "we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So Paul encourages these believers. He wants them to know that if they've had loved ones who have died, i.e. they have fallen asleep, God is going to one day raise them up. He's going to bring them back to life. They will experience a physical resurrection just as Jesus did, and it's Jesus' own resurrection that guarantees this. Our only hope of beating death, it rises and falls on the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, there were a lot of questions in the days of the Bible, in the time when Jesus walked, surrounding this physical resurrection. What was it all about? The Greco-Romans, they didn't even believe in a physical resurrection. They believed in an afterlife, but not that the person that died would physically raise again. You remember the religious sect, the Sadducees? They were a minority in the majority in the Sanhedrin, and they were a very political group. They were the ones that kind of the power brokers with Rome to keep the peace between the Jewish people and the Romans. They held in high esteem the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They believed that, they embraced that, but they were pretty dogmatic when it came to the afterlife. They deny, these Sadducees, that the afterlife even existed, and they for sure did not believe in a physical resurrection. In fact, you read the scripture, they always are bringing up this idea of a physical resurrection to Jesus because they didn't believe in a physical resurrection. That's why they were so sad, you see, all right? Come back next week, there's more, all right? The Pharisees, they were a minority in the Sanhedrin, and they embraced the afterlife. What we know as the Old Testament, the Pharisees, you remember they were the religious, uber religious of the day, ultra pious, and they believed in the prophets and the Psalms, and they studied them, and they believed in a physical resurrection, and they believed in it because they had read scriptures from the prophets like this. Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1, look at what the Bible says. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Look at verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We'll come back to that in just a moment. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, prophesies, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. Job chapter 19, verse 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. Now these Old Testament writers, the Pharisees at the time of Jesus, they were, of course, extremely limited in their knowledge of what this physical resurrection was gonna look like, but you can see why Paul, who was a Pharisee, would have studied these scriptures, and when he encountered the resurrection Christ and puts it all together, you can see how it just blew his mind. You can see how when he came to an understanding of what the physical resurrection is going to look like because of the physical resurrection of Christ, it totally changed his life. Eyes wide open. This is what Daniel and Isaiah and Job, this is what they were talking about, the resurrection of a physical body, just like Jesus. My wife, she loves putting puzzles together. Whenever we're on vacation, she says it lowers her stress in being married to me. I don't know about that, but vacations, holidays, whenever there is a random ice day here in Houston, which by the way, we're gonna be asking the Lord for that random ice day here in a couple of weeks. When we're locked in, you can just rest assured, depending on the size of the puzzle, the coffee table's gonna be clean, the kitchen table's going away, there's gonna be a puzzle there. Now, I don't do puzzles, all right? I lack the patience, imagine that. I just don't do it, but let me tell you what I do. I'm the guy that waits until there's about 10 to 15 pieces left, all right? And I make my move, and my family despises it as I gloat in helping to finish the puzzle? Well, this is Paul. The physical resurrection of Jesus was the last piece of the puzzle. Once it was revealed to him, once he fully understood it, blew his mind. And he put it all together and he realized that it was the physical resurrection of Jesus that made the physical resurrection of his followers after death possible. So the point is, look back at the physical resurrection of Jesus. If he was raised, and he was, then we don't have to be discouraged by those who have died, because they too, like Jesus, will be raised. And if we die, we too, guarantee, promise of Jesus, we will be raised up. That's why I asked the question, are you ready for your resurrection? Now the question becomes, well, what happens to those who are alive when Jesus returns? And that's what Paul mentions next. What if we aren't dead? What happens? Well, we don't just look back, but Paul says, look up. Look at verse 15 through 17. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Just as the physical resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact, so too the return of Jesus is a future fact. It will happen. Jesus promised this. After his resurrection, he spent time with the disciples, and the book of Acts tells us that he was there with his disciples and they're spending time with one another, and after he gives them some last words, the Bible says that he ascends into the sky. Now you can imagine, if you were there, these disciples are still trying to get their mind around the fact that Jesus has been raised to life. Now he ascends back, and the Bible says that they just are staring into the sky as we would. I mean, they're just looking, what on earth? Where'd he go? And the Bible says, Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he had said these things, they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men, we assume these are angels, stood by in white robes, and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, visually, will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. Over and over and over again, the Bible teaches of the second coming of Jesus. Speaking of hope and encouragement, Paul would write in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and he calls the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ, he even calls it this. He calls it the blessed hope. Jesus' last words, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Last words in the very last book of the Bible. He says, surely I am coming soon. You say, Pastor, come on. You really believe that? That he's coming again? People have been saying that for 2,000 years. I do believe it, and I believe it's closer today than it was 2,000 years ago when he made us the promise. He's coming again. It's the only, put this under fun facts, it's the only prophecy in all of the Bible that is yet to be fulfilled. One out of 30 verses in the Bible speak of the return of Christ and the end of time. 23 of the 27 New Testament books speak to the second coming of Jesus. Listen to this. There are 109 prophecies in Scripture that refer to Jesus' first coming. It happened. There are over 330 prophecies that speak of Jesus' second coming. It is going to happen. And what Paul writes here in 1 Thessalonians is that should we be alive at the return of Christ, and it could happen at any moment. Every time the Bible mentions the return of Christ, it puts an emphasis on the fact that we are to be ready. It could happen. It could happen today. It could happen before we end this service. There is nothing holding Jesus back outside of what Romans says is his kindness and patience, wanting everyone here to come to know him. And if Jesus returns before we die, we won't be resurrected like those who have fallen asleep. But instead, verse 17 says, we'll be caught up into the sky. Evidently, it's going to be loud. There'll be a cry from an archangel. There'll be the sound of a trumpet. Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him on that day. And the dead will rise first. And if we are still alive when Jesus returns, we'll be caught up into heaven and be transformed forever. Paul writes about this transformation, the second coming. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 56, he calls it a mystery. Listen to what the scripture says. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you see? Do you see why Paul says you can have hope today? You know, there's no question that some of you came into this room today and you were feeling hopeless. Maybe addiction's got a stranglehold on your life. Or maybe you received a phone call from a doctor that you didn't want to receive, and there's a diagnosis that you weren't looking forward to hearing. Perhaps in the turn of the economy, there's been a little downturn, you lost your job, or you're having a struggle with ends meeting, or maybe there's a relationship on the outs. There's a divorce on the horizon you never saw coming, and you came to Easter services today looking for hope because, truth be told, you were feeling a little bit hopeless. What Paul says here in this passage is that because of the resurrection of Jesus, because he came out of that tomb, he beat death, hell, and the grave all those years ago, you can have hope. Death, our greatest enemy, no longer has a hold over our life, no longer is holding captive by fear. It's not a threat anymore. It's a true hope. It's not a hollow hope. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all probably got those little chocolate bunnies. They look so promising. They look so good, and you take a bite into it, and it's nothing. It's air. It's a little thin piece of chocolate. It's the worst Easter candy out there, worse than Peeps, all right? It's the worst. It's hollow. Well, the resurrection of Jesus, it is not a hollow hope. It is a hope that you can anchor the soul to. And this is why Paul says, you look back, you look up. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore encourage one another with these words. You know, I'll preside over these funerals, these gravesides. And I use the same outline that I'm using today. I say, look back. A little bit of a different twist. And I say, this is why you come to a seminary, because you look back at the life you shared with your loved one and you think of the memories that you have. And that's a good thing. Memories are a gift from God. Look back and remember. And look up. I mean, you're talking to a family that's grieving. Where else do they turn? We gotta look up. Jesus is the only one we can turn to. And then I share with them this, look ahead. Because if your loved one is a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Bible promises, this passage right here, that you will see your loved one again. And it's that final part that I want us to spend our closing minutes on together. It's the look ahead part. Can we just play this out? Let's just say our greatest enemy is what the Bible calls death. Let's just say that our greatest enemy comes for us before Jesus returns. We've already stated that we'll be resurrected. Jesus' resurrection is that powerful. It will raise all who have died, the saved and the unsaved, the believer and the unbeliever. The question is not whether every single person listening to my voice today will experience a physical resurrection. You will physically resurrect. The question is, where are you going to spend eternity after your physical resurrection? Will it be, as Daniel said, to everlasting life, or will it be to everlasting contempt? Jesus put it like this: truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good, i.e. those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, and as a result, they have fruit in their life that shows evidence that they are a believer. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, those who have not put their faith and trust in Christ, and the fruit of their life shows to a resurrection of judgment. So when Paul says, look ahead, as words of encouragement and hope, it's only for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, who have given him their lives, who have believed in his death, his burial, his resurrection, not just with your head, but with your heart. Only then will you experience a resurrection of life. If you don't know Jesus, you will experience a physical resurrection, but it will not be to life. It will be to judgment and death. Just think on it. A resurrection for all of us. And you'll either go from death to life or death to death. That's why I'm calling the message today, and I'm asking you the question: are you ready for your resurrection? Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I would like to ask that no one be leaving in this moment. Christians are praying, and I want to encourage you believers to be praying for the person on your right, your left, in front of you, behind them. You may not even know them, or perhaps they're your friend that you brought here on Easter Sunday. Maybe it's a family member. You be praying for them, because this is the most sacred time in the service. Are you ready for your resurrection? For some of you, the reality is you're not ready. And as I've been speaking, it's as if me and you have had a chair pulled up and just looking at each other in the eyes, like we're just had a cup of coffee, just me and you. It's been like you're the only one in the room. You know why that is? It's because the Spirit of God brought you here today and is dealing with your heart, your soul. He wants you to come to know him. He wants you to be ready for your resurrection. You say, how can I do that? How can I be resurrected to life? If that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, I need to be ready, I'm not ready, and you know it, I want you to just, with everybody praying, I want you to just look right here with me. If that's you, I'm not ready. No one's gonna sense you looking up at me. You say, Pastor, I wanna be ready. How? It's as easy as your ABCs. A, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not hard to do. All of us are sinners. We've missed the mark of God's holiness. Admit it. B, believe in Jesus, who he is and what he did on the cross and what he did coming out of that empty tomb. Jesus was at a funeral of his friend Lazarus. John 11, 25, 26, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, not just with your head, this isn't just factual knowledge, it's with your heart. I'm giving you my life, Jesus. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Admit your sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then see, confess him as Lord. Confession is a prayer with your lips that leads to a life with your actions. Romans 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be saved, not could be saved. You confess Jesus with your lips and you will be saved. And if you want to pray and ask Jesus into your heart, I'm gonna put this prayer on the screen. We call this the sinner's prayer. Nothing magical about these words. God sees the posture of your heart. He sees your humility. He sees your faith. And he sees you today when you read these words saying, I do want to be ready. And so just pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I believe. I want to be ready for my resurrection. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sin. Just pray it right there. I believe you were raised to life on the third day, and I'm asking you to live in me. Thank you for hearing my prayer, saving me, and help me to live for you every single day. Father, I believe many across this room prayed that prayer with me. And Lord, we celebrate with them in this moment. In the name of Christ, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, you wanted to be ready for your resurrection, I'm gonna ask you to make one more decision. It's gonna take a little courage, but we do this every Easter here at Champion Forest. We just did it in our earlier service. In just a moment, I'm gonna ask you, if you prayed that prayer with me, to just stand right where you are. And we saw it in our first service all over the room, people standing saying, I prayed to receive Christ. You say, why would I do that? Because one, we've been praying for you that you would hear this message and would respond by faith, and we want to celebrate with you. The Bible says when one person calls on the name of the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. And so we want to celebrate. My dad turned 81 this week. It was his birthday. It was a big celebration. And in many ways, if you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, it is your spiritual birthday and we want to celebrate. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to count to three. And all across this room, if you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, you're gonna see people all across the room stand. And look, if you're the only one, praise God, we're gonna celebrate with you, but you won't be. And so here we go, you ready? Make your faith in Christ public. Stand for him in this moment on the count of three. One, two, three. All across this room, look, you prayed to receive Christ. Look at this, look at it. In the balcony, come on, Champion Forest, look what God's done in this place. I'm ready for the resurrection. Anybody else? Anybody else want to stand? I prayed to receive Christ. Anybody else? Now here's what I want you to do, Champion Forest. I want you to stand with them. I want you to stand with them all across the room, all across the room. For those that stand, asking our church to stand, here's why we're asking them to stand. Because we want you to know that here at Champion Forest, no one stands alone.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.